You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello, everyone. A warm welcome along to the midweek edition of the Punt Podcast here with William Hill. Dave Kellner here alongside Jack Critchley. To look forward to what promises to be an entertaining midweek with Champions League football on Tuesday and Wednesday and the Europa League on Thursday. Jack, first of all, how are you, sir?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Very well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm looking forward to this midweek. Sometimes we get, not duds, but I think given that we were persecuted by the international break recently, it's good to have some European football that you actually want to watch.
Yeah, that is true. We said, actually, we were sat here pre-faders going up and we said we're really looking forward to these games, and yes, I really am, because I mean the third match day is always interesting because you've got those clubs who have got off to a bad start in the Champions League, and you've got those as well alternatively who are racing ahead. There's a lot of must win, but there's also a lot of must not lose games for sides that are playing over the next couple of days, so it'll be interesting to see how they get on, because you know, three defeats or just picking up 2 points maybe from the first three games, it's not good, is it, when there's only a couple more matches to play? So it'll be interesting to see how it gets on. And I'm really looking forward to all of the games involving the English clubs, of course. But I also think, as an aside, Sporting Dortmund looks like a great clash.
It does. And all the betting available on the William Hill website. Just go to williamhill.com, click on the football page, find the markets, and you'll see our full range of markets for the games Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. And we'll start with Tuesday's matches and Leverkusen first up. They're taking on Tottenham, and Leverkusen are 23-20 to win this game. They draw 13-5. Tottenham are 12-5. Tuesday 7:45. Bayer Leverkusen haven't started that strongly in the Bundesliga this season. Only picked up 10 points from their opening 10 games, and they were beaten at Werder Bremen on Saturday. Their home form, though, is still pretty impressive. I think they're unbeaten in 10. At home, but they have lost 9 of their last 10 Champions League games against English opposition as well. I would have fancied Spurs at 12-5 to win this game if they had Toby Alderweireld. I think his injury at the weekend against West Brom in a match they eventually drew 1-1, having looked like getting beaten in that for the majority of the 90 minutes, that's a big blow for them, Alderweireld missing.
It is a huge loss, because I know that Pochettino wants to make changes, and I know he is going to make changes, but one of the players he would want to include and almost certainly would not drop to the bench would have been Alderweireld, and unfortunately his injury means there's going to be a reshuffle at the back. Kevin Vimmer's probably going to come in, but you know, it's about the big experience in these sort of games and the occasions as well. Going to Leverkusen is not easy for any side. And yeah, you pointed out this started poorly, but they have a bad record against Werder Bremen, by the way. They lost away there, and that was their last home defeat back in, I think it was about April before that. So they're very, very strong here, Leverkusen. They're a Jekyll and Hyde side. And, you know, they're good at home. They're terrible away from home. And I just think they'll be quite strong here. Had a disappointing start. That 2-2 draw with Cisca, they could have done without that at the start. They then, of course, drew their second match with Monaco, which, looking at how Monaco have done recently in the league, that's not a bad result. But I think they'll need the points here. And Spurs won't want to lose either, because, you know, what, 3 points from the two games so far. I think this one is actually going to be quite cagey. I think this is going against the grain. A lot of people I've seen go, oh, there's going to be goals here. I don't think there will. I don't think they will. I think both sides will be nervous and won't want to lose. And I could really see the unders at around about even money landing as well, which it was this morning. I think that's a good price. I just think that sides will want to go for it, yes, but at the same time, they don't want to leave themselves exposed at the back.
I've just noticed as well, as we record this on Monday afternoon, the enhanced odds offers are through, and Javier Hernandez features in those enhanced odds offers. For him to score and Leverkusen to win, nice enhancement this one, 11-5 to 3-1. I think if you fancy Leverkusen, you're looking at Javier Hernandez. He's got 6-6. He scored 7 goals in his last 9 Champions League appearances as well. So he is, he was always an unsung hero when at Manchester United.
Yeah.
And I thought it was perhaps foolish of them to sell him so quickly. And Javier Hernandez has been in fine form recently. So if you're looking at Leverkusen, that's a decent enhancement.
It is a very decent enhancement. I like that. The other players you could maybe have a quick glance at, Admir Mehmedi as well, And, of course, Çalhanoğlu, of course, from any set pieces is pretty handy as well. I've got a feeling, you know, about this game that Leverkusen sneak it.
Okay.
They haven't lost at home in a European competition since November 2014. And Spurs, yeah, they've got a couple of injuries. They're going to rotate as well. And although they had their chances against West Brom, there was a worrying lack of incision up front. And I know Harry Kane hasn't scored bucket loads this season, but without him up front, particularly Janssen, who hasn't convinced anyone yet, has he, particularly? At least Son is back. At least Son will get some game time here. He played 19 minutes at the weekend. He's obviously been kept fresh for this game.
Yep.
If you are looking for a Spurs goal scorer, I think it's got to be Son. Perhaps any time is the way to go. But I've got a feeling Leverkusen will sneak this. I think it'll be unders. I think you could also have a look at both teams to score no at 23-20 as well. But there's an offer further down as well, so a price further down, which is Leverkusen to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1 at 23-10. I think that's not a bad price, that one. Just to sneak it, I think it'll be very, very tight, this one. But I'm siding with the Germans, just.
That correct score group betting is, if you're on the William Hill website on the desktop computer, that's just below the goal scorer market. So correct score group betting, Jack going with Leverkusen to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1 at 23-10. I have done the in-house football previews for this game, and I think it's going to be a draw, this one.
Do you? Right.
At 13-5. But yeah, if I was going to gun to head and you said you've got to pick one or the other, I think I'd be with Leverkusen, just because that injury to Alderweireld is so important as far as Spurs are concerned.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just think that Leverkusen are so strong at home, particularly in these competitions, that there is every chance they could sneak it. But I won't put you off the draw if at 13-5. I think that's actually quite good value. I expected it to be a touch shorter than that.
Leicester City next. They are going to attempt to maintain that 100% record in the Champions League at the King Power Stadium on Tuesday night. Again, 7:45 kickoff. And Leicester are 10-11 to win this match. The draw is in the market at 5-2, with FC Copenhagen at 100-30. The enhanced odds, Jamie Vardy to score and Leicester to win, was 2-1. It's been enhanced to 3-1. And Andreas Cornelius to score and Copenhagen to win, was 6-1. That's been enhanced to 8-1. Weird season for Leicester City so far. Those two matches in the lead-up to Champions League dates, they've been thrashed at Anfield and thrashed at Old Trafford, 4-1 both times. And this weekend, or last weekend, just gone, they were humiliated by Chelsea, getting beaten 3-0. It's not, at the moment, it's not spilled over into the Champions League exertions, and they've managed to produce their best form in this competition. I just wonder whether it's going to happen again. It's going to catch up with them at some point. That's what I fear.
Yeah, I mean, I'd written this in my notes as well. They're not easy games, are they? Chelsea, Man United, Liverpool. But I've written in my notes, don't worry about the thrashing at the weekend, because that is exactly what happens before all of these Champions League games. They've always been battered. But the worry is the lack of shots they had in that game. I mean, if they're not going for it, they're not the Leicester City of last season, are they? Which is a real worry. But completely different animals, you say, in this competition. It held Porto, kept Porto off the score sheet. They did hit the post in that game, but they won 1-0 there. And, of course, a brilliant performance against Club Brugge, who are the real poor member of this group. So Copenhagen put four past them in the last game. So this will be tougher. Copenhagen have started really well. They've drawn 7 of their last 10 away games, FC Copenhagen, not lost any of them. So I think I'm going to have to side with a draw here. I could easily see this being 0-0 or 1-1. I think it's going to be a draw. I think the 5-2 is what we'll have to take here. In terms of a goal scorer, Jamie Vardy is not firing at the moment. In this competition, I'd rather take Islam Slimani.
Yes.
Any time.
Yeah.
8-5 he was. And I'd also not be surprised if you wanted to have a look again. And this is not a market I like often, but seeing as I've said it in both games so far, it sounds like I'm lying. Both teams to score no is 8-11. Just think this one again will be quite tight, and both teams will not get on the score sheet. But the draw at 5-2 would not be surprising. If Leicester are going to win this, they're going to sneak it 1-0, I think, again, and it's going to be 11-2. But can they keep doing that? Can they keep relying on that? I'm not so sure they can, and I'd rather be on the draw here at 5-2.
Yeah, I like Riyad Mahrez to score in this game. He's 8-5 to get on the score sheet, Mahrez. He's definitely saving a bit back for the Champions League this season. Having watched him play in the Premier League and compared that play to against Club Brugge, as you mentioned, and Porto in those two games they won. He, I think, will look for a move in the summer, definitely. And it's a shop window for him, isn't it, the Champions League, European competition. So I think Riyad Mahrez will score in this game, 8-5. I think they can keep doing it against teams like Copenhagen. You look at Copenhagen's record in the Champions League, they've only won one of their 11 Champions League away games.
Yeah, they've never won in England as well. So that's what's stopping me from going all out and saying they're going to win.
Yeah.
I think it's either going to be here. I know I shouldn't be hedging my bets, but it's either going to be Leicester 1-0, which you can back at 11-2 if you're a correct score punter, or the draw, and I'd say 0-0, 1-1. So you could look at unders perhaps in that one as well.
Yeah, I'm going with Riyad Mahrez to score and Leicester to win in this game, which I'm hoping is going to be around about 5-2. It's 9-4, Riyad Mahrez to score and Leicester to win, which I like. And that last away win, by the way, in the Champions League for Copenhagen, that came 6 years ago against Panathinaikos.
So right.
I think you're putting your neck on the block if you're going with Copenhagen to win this game. But Leicester odds on at 10-11. I think people will be fearful that even though in those games against Anfield, against Liverpool, at Stamford Bridge against Chelsea and at Old Trafford against Manchester United, they've been thrashed in those games, at least last season. They only picked up 2 points from those three fixtures last season. But they were belligerent in those games.
Yeah, they did.
They rolled over this year.
Yeah, they didn't crumble, which is a real worry. I mean, their defence has been pretty sturdy so far in the Champions League, exemplary, in fact. But at some point, you know, that defending is gonna, well, that kind of defending that they've done in previous weekends is gonna hurt them in the Champions League. But I agree what you're saying about Riyad Mahrez. Shop window, particularly if Leicester progress, so he'll be doing everything to try and get them through. Leicester 1-0 or the draw here.
Just as a quick sidebar here, do you think Leicester's defending from set pieces, which has been much talked about and publicised, have they been hindered by the introduction of the, in inverted commas, new rules this season where grappling in the box is punishable?
Well, Robert Hoof loves a grapple. I'll leave it at that.
Arsenal versus Ludogorets is next. Arsenal 1-7. This is Wednesday night, again, 7:45. Arsenal 1-7. The draw 15-2. Ludogorets are 20-1. The enhanced odds, Mesut Ozil to score and Arsenal to win was 13-10. It's been enhanced to 6-4. And Claudio Caseru to score and Ludogorets to win was 35-1. That's been enhanced to 50-1. Arsenal's fine form continues.
Yeah.
They beat Swansea at the weekend, 3-2 on Saturday at the Emirates. And this should be straightforward, shouldn't it? They've won six in a row now, Arsenal.
The old phrase is bread and butter, food and drink. It should be all of those, you would imagine. 1-7, yeah. So you're going to have to look elsewhere if you're going to find value in this game. And the value is certainly not the 20-1 on Ludogorets here. Arsenal, yeah, they've been pretty handy. They're good at, at the Emirates. And they should find this fairly easy. They have, in the Champions League so far, they obviously drew with PSG, which they were a bit disappointed with. They then obviously went and won after that. They've scored at least two goals in each of their last seven home games, though. So expect them to get a few here because a lot of those were against more difficult opposition. They made a bit of a meal of it at the weekend, didn't they, though? Scored three and conceded two as well. I'd like to take here the over 3.5 goals. I'm not confident that Ludogorets can get on the score sheet, but if Arsenal are defending like they did against Swansea, then perhaps they will. Arsenal, of course, alternatively, could get all four themselves. So I'll be having a look at the over 3.5 here at evens. You can get a shorter price of 7-10 about Arsenal to win both halves. That might be one way of doing it.
Yeah.
Particularly if you're putting together a double or a treble, that might add a bit of value. But on the goal scoring front, I quite like this. 12-5 in the it's the score anytime goal scorer double. Alexis Sanchez and Theo Walcott both to score in this game is currently 12-5. Which I think is a really good price. Theo's in form, of course, and he's talked ahead of this game about how all of the players are desperate to make an impression in this game. Alexis Sanchez, always good for a goal as well. And I think if you bundle those two together, which is available on the William Hill website, you get 12-5 for those two players to score.
I like Theo Walcott to score in this game. It is a shade of odds on at 19-20, or you can take the even money for Walcott to score and Arsenal to win. You're mentioning goal scorers there, though, and Ludogorets. I'd have a little look at Jonathan Cafu to score. He's available at 19-5. But if you go Jonathan Cafu to score and Arsenal to win the game, 6-1 is a price that I like. He's got 5 in 6 and is dangerous. And as you mentioned, given that Arsenal conceded 2 against Swansea at the weekend, Ludogorets might nick one in this game. You also talked about Arsenal's home form. It's incredibly strong in the group format in the Champions League. They've lost just 3 times in their last 39 home games in the group stages, winning 30 of those, which is some record.
That's
and I know
incredible.
When they, I know when they get to the knockout stages, they generally capitulate, or recent history suggests that's what happens. But in the group stages, they're terrific.
They are really impressive, yeah. And this is exactly the sort of game that they would want as well, particularly third game in, and obviously then fourth game in. That's away at Ludogorets, so that won't be quite as easy. But third game in, get some points on the board here and get a few goals as well. They've been terrific to watch this season, as they often are. But yeah, I think like you, I don't entirely trust the Arsenal defence. So you could have a look at Jonathan Cafu and maybe have a look at the over 3.5 at evens, just in case Ludogorets do nick one.
How do you feel about Arsenal's title chances?
Very, very good. I think that they should be more confident than last season. I think Arsene Wenger's done quite a good job of resting a few players post-Euros and just wrapping a few of his players in cotton wool to get them ready for this season. I do think, though, they should have won it last year, and there's quite a strong ensemble, isn't there, with Liverpool looking good and also Man City as well under Pep.
Let's talk about Pep. Barcelona versus Manchester City is it's the marquee fixture, isn't it, in the Champions League this midweek. A Wednesday, 7:45. Barcelona are 8-15 to win it. The draw, 7-2. Manchester City, 5-1. The enhanced odds, Neymar to score and Barcelona to win, was 6-4. That's been enhanced to 2-1. And Sergio Aguero to score and Manchester City to win was 13-2, and that has been enhanced to 8-1. I had this fixture earmarked as a barometer to judge how far Manchester City have come under Pep Guardiola, but I think it comes at completely the wrong time for Manchester City. They're without a winning three, conceded against Everton at the weekend, drawing that game 1-1. Prior to that, they'd conceded 2 in the loss against Spurs, and before that, 3 in the draw with Celtic. And Sergio Aguero picked up a knock on international duty with Argentina, came back and played 40 minutes, just less than 40 minutes at the weekend. Kevin De Bruyne is returning from injury as well. Raheem Sterling's picked up a problem. I think Pep Guardiola will be upset with this fixture coming at this time in the season.
Yeah, I agree, actually. First of all, you've got a heart of stone if you're not looking forward to this fixture.
It's going to be a cracker, isn't
it? Yeah, and I certainly don't want to meet you at any pubs or in any parties if you're not looking forward to this one, because this is going to be great. But I agree with all of that, because also, if you look at it from the flip side, Barcelona, you would have liked to have played them after they lost 4-3 to Celta Vigo. So that was a really poor result, but then they got back to winning ways against Deportivo. And now suddenly that mojo is back, and this is not a good time for Manchester City at all. And I do fancy the Barca win here. 8-15 is very short. Have a look at Barca to win and both teams to score. That's 17-10. I think that's a better way of doing it.
I like that as well.
Yeah, that lands a lot as well for Barca in the Champions League generally. I haven't got the exact stats on it to hand, but if you go back through their results, it is often the case. They, because of the nature of the competition, they don't keep a lot of clean sheets and haven't been recently either. It did land when these two met in 2014 as well. So I think Barcelona to win and both teams to score is the best bet in this one. They did, as I said, hit 4 past Deportivo, back to scoring ways. Manchester City as well, their last couple of away games, losing to Spurs 2-0 and drawing 3-3 with Celtic. Not kept a clean sheet in a while on the road. And that match against Spurs was the first time this season in any competition they failed to score away from home. So I would back them to get a goal. But I see Barcelona as the overall winners here.
There's one stat which I find amazing, really, in the lead-up to this fixture. Since September 2013, Barcelona have scored in every single home game in this competition. 17 matches in total. They've won 16 of them and drawn the other one. They've amassed an astounding, really, 52 goals in those games, which is just under 3 a game on average. Mm. I just don't think City can keep up here.
No.
I think Barcelona might win this one. Well, 3-4-1.
We don't trust their defence at the best of times, do we, City? So against this sort of opposition, they certainly won't keep them out. And the fact that Barcelona hit 7 past Celtic as well, a side that City could only draw with in the end, I think there are, going to be a few here. As I said, you could have a look at Barcelona to win and both teams to score. If you're not confident of that, not as good a price, but Barcelona to win and three or more goals in the game is 10-11.
I think that's a yeah. great bet. I really do like that.
That might be a better way. If you're worried that you're backing the both teams to score and Barca to win, but it might end 3-0, then that might be a way of playing it in that one. But if you are looking for a City goal, I don't know how much he's going to be involved here, but you know, Iheanacho is always good, isn't he, for an anytime goal scorer. 5-2, he could nick one. Barcelona. Could be anyone.
Yeah, it could be anyone. Neymar has been involved in a lot of goals recently, but has a tendency in recent seasons, 11 to 10 to score any time, to be the provider rather than the scorer.
How many times in the Champions League have we seen Neymar to Suarez, goal, Barcelona? So it's usually that way around, yeah.
I like Sergio Aguero to score in the game. Anytime Sergio Aguero is on the pitch and he's 8-5 scoring this match, I know there's a slight doubt about his fitness, but he did get 40 minutes at the weekend. Yeah. So they just need to stop letting him take penalties, basically, Sergio Aguero, because he keeps missing them.
Yeah.
And he missed another one at the weekend after, was it Kevin De Bruyne who had missed one?
I think he'd missed one, yeah.
I think it was De Bruyne had missed in the...
Was it
in the match, or David Silva, I think it could have been. Yeah, someone missed a penalty, and then Aguero came on and missed another. But him to score and Barcelona to win is 9-2, which I think over 4-1 for that eventuality is a nice price.
Perhaps have a look at the over 2.5 as well. Over 3.5, apologies, at 11-10, that might be a way to go. Over 2.5, very, very short, 2-5. They're expecting a good game here, but over 3.5 at 11-10. And with Sergio Aguero, even if he gets 10 minutes, still back him to get on the score sheet.
I would too. I love him. I think he's a fantastic player. Hopefully he'll be fully fit for this clash on Wednesday night. And Wednesday we finish with Celtic versus Borussia Mönchengladbach. Celtic 21-10, the draw 11-4 with Borussia Mönchengladbach in the market at 6-5. And the enhanced odds, Lee Griffiths to score and Celtic to win was 7-2, now 5-1. And Rafael Catano to score and Borussia Mönchengladbach to win was 5-2. That's been enhanced to 3-1. You talked about the importance of match day 3. I think as far as these two sides are concerned, this is a battle for that Europa League spot, isn't it? Because Manchester City and Barcelona will be away and gone in this group. If they can replicate that performance against Manchester City, they should win this game, Celtic, and they're a big price.
Yeah, I fancy Celtic here, which is not a sentence I say often in European competitions. But yeah, I think they'll give it a go here, and I think they can win against a poor Borussia Mönchengladbach side. You know, they're inconsistent, but they're particularly bad away from home. And Celtic looked quite good against City. You know, 3-3, they took the lead twice, I think, possibly three times, but they were really, really good going forward. Yeah, they still leave a few. The bit to be desired at the back. They won at the weekend. They also hit the bar and post in that game as well. So there's plenty of attacking intent in Brendan Rodgers' side at the moment. And I don't think Gladbach can cope with that. They're just leaking goals. I think they're suffering a bit as well this season from the loss of Granit Xhaka, who of course helped them to so many clean sheets previously. Brendan Rodgers has described this as a real test, but I think it's a test they can come through. They've won their last two games to nil as well since the draw with Manchester City. And, Gladbach won just one of the last five. Could only draw 0-0 with Hamburg at the weekend. And Hamburg are second bottom. Talking of missed penalties, as you were, Gladbach missed two penalties in that game.
Right,
two different players as well. So they had the opportunity to win it. They still couldn't score, even from that distance. So... against second bottom Hamburg, that's a really poor result to come into this competition off. And they've conceded 11 goals in the last three away matches in the Bundesliga. So I would not be confident of their chances here. Celtic win here for me, 21-10. Again, I like the scores bundle. Celtic to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1 is 19-5.
I like Moussa Dembele to score anytime here at 7-5. I must admit, I didn't see much of him at Fulham. Maybe you can enlighten me. But since he moved to Celtic, I think they've not unearthed a real star, but I think they've got one at a good price because I think he's terrific.
Yeah, well, there was Premier League clubs sniffing around him as well. He struck up a really good partnership with Ross McCormack last season at Fulham. The trouble was, he maybe didn't get as much attention as he could have done, because Fulham could not defend or keep a clean sheet to save their life. So they were actually battling against the drop, and they had Dembele and McCormack scoring. If that had been a club that could defend, they would have been heading for the playoffs. We would have seen a lot more of him, and I think he probably would have been snapped up by a Premier League club. But Celtic got in there. He's a really good signing, and I'm completely in agreement with you. I like the 7-5. He's lively. He can finish. Yes, still raw at times, but I think sometimes that's a good thing in the Champions League. You know, you need someone who perhaps the opposition aren't expecting.
I'd even be tempted by Moussa Dembélé to score two or more at 7-1 in this match. I know it does sound like we're pro-Celtic here. We are pro-Celtic.
Well, we are, yeah.
Yeah, we are. That's why it sounds like it. But as if we're dismissing Borussia Mönchengladbach out of hand. But Moussa Dembélé scored twice in that 3-3 draw with Manchester City at Celtic Park. Scored twice in the Premier League fixture the Saturday before that game against Kilmarnock when they notched six, and scored again at the weekend against Motherwell in the 2-0 win.
Yeah.
So I reckon he could get a couple in this game. 7-1 is a big price on that.
Still only 20 as well. There's loads more to come. I mean, 15 goals in 43 appearances for Fulham last season. That is pretty decent for a 19-year-old who's just burst onto the scene. I think he's great. I think perhaps a little raw at times, but a real bundle of energy. And this Gladbach defence, 11 goals conceded in 3 away matches. They're not going to like him running at them.
They're not. So we're with Celtic there, 21-10 to win that game. That's the last of the Champions League fixtures we're going to analyse. Let's move on to Thursday's Europa League matches involving the English clubs. And Inter Milan take on Southampton at the San Siro. Inter Milan are 13-10. The draw 12-5, Southampton 11-5. 6 p.m. kickoff. Mauro Icardi to score and Inter Milan to win was 5-2, now 3-1. And that Charlie Austin to score and Southampton to win was 4-1, now 6-1. Inter haven't picked up a point in the group yet, while Southampton are top on goal difference. They actually lost 2-0 to Hapoel Beersheva in game week one, Inter Milan. So Southampton will go there and they'll fancy this, especially having come off the back of a win against Burnley 3-1. At the weekend, and Charlie Austin, just mentioned him there, in good goal scoring form.
He is indeed. I had a few questions ahead of this one because Southampton have got a lot of injuries. Ryan Bertrand, Bufal as well, Cedric, Shane Long, PA, Jay Rodriguez all missing. So they really are reliant on Charlie Austin here to lead the line, which is a good thing for that enhanced odds. I'm hoping they give him 90 minutes and that will hopefully come in, because I know certain clubs don't like playing Charlie, well, he's played previously, don't like playing Charlie Austin Saturday, Tuesday because of his knee. But I don't think there's many other options for Southampton in terms of forwards. And, you know, a lot of the younger ones are out on loan. So I think Charlie Austin will get a game here, and I think he's always a good bet to score. I do fancy Southampton here. I think you could back them even on the draw no bet, 23-20, with a lot of confidence. Nathan Redmond as well, by the way, 5-2 any time is also maybe a bet. But Inter, well, it's all going on there. Home loss to Cagliari again. And I don't know if you know much about what's happened with Icardi.
No, I don't.
Okay, well, he's published an autobiography, which, as William Hill's Michael Wood said to me, is first of all wrong because he's only mid-20s. but second of all, he said in it how he was a hero for confronting the Inter fans when they were having a go at him previously, and it's really upset them. And they actually cheered and celebrated when he missed a penalty in that game on Sunday.
Right.
So,
wow.
Icardi might well be barricading himself in his own house rather than playing on Thursday. We'll wait and see. But Inter at bottom of the group, as you say, one goal in the two games so far, conceded five. Frank de Boer is known not to like this competition particularly, and he does tend to rotate his side. So expect quite a few changes here for Inter, and Icardi may well be one of them who doesn't feature, just to try and temper you know, what's going on around the San Siro. But I do think Southampton could take advantage of that as well. It's not a good atmosphere at the moment at Inter. And third straight loss, that was, at the weekend. I think Southampton are a real play on the outrights here, 11-5. If you're not so sure about that, have a look at 23-20 about the draw no bet. If Hapoel Beersheva can go there and win, Southampton can do it.
I agree. And you said who's going to step up if Charlie Austin doesn't. Nathan Redmond's the other one, isn't he? Because his industry at the weekend, he got that deserved goal, in my opinion, and 5-2 he is to score any time. I'm waiting for Jay Rodriguez I might always be waiting for Jay Rodriguez because he is injury prone.
Yeah.
To get a good run in the side because he looks so talented when I see him play.
I know what you mean. At some point, he's going to burst on the scene and everyone's going to go, oh, of course,
Yeah, I remember him.
Yeah, so I'm with you there. I'm waiting in the same queue. And maybe just one behind you, but I'm waiting in the same queue. I think you could have a look here, actually, unders again, 4-5. And Southampton to win an under 2.5 goals is 9-2, which I think represents pretty good value for me because this isn't going to be easy.
It's a good price at 9-2.
Yeah, I'm pro Southampton, but I'm under no illusions that they're going to go there and win 3-0.
Yeah.
I don't think this is going to be easy at all, but particularly if Southampton score the first goal, that's going to really upset the locals. And I think they can do it. I think they'll win 1, possibly 2-0. It's going to be narrow, but yeah, I'm with Southampton. It's not right into it at the moment. It's not getting any better either, particularly if people are releasing autobiographies. But just, yeah, there's something wrong there, and it's really hard to make any sort of case for the Italian side.
We finish with Manchester United versus Fenerbahce, which is at Old Trafford on Thursday evening. This one's an 8:05 kickoff. And full transparency here, if you are listening to this on Tuesday, we're recording this podcast prior to Manchester United's match against Liverpool at Anfield. So things could definitely change as far as the betting is concerned. 4-7 Manchester United to win this game. The draw 16-5 with Fenerbahce 5-1. Enhanced odds, Marcus Rashford to score and Manchester United to win was 6-4, enhanced to 2-1. And Emmanuel Emenike to score and Fenerbahce to win was 9-1. That's been enhanced to 12-1. Manchester United laboured to a 1-0 win against Zorya in their last group game. Despite fielding a strong side, I was surprised by Jose Mourinho's team selection. They're clearly expected to beat Fenerbahce. We know the result against Liverpool has a bearing on their mental stability as a collective whole.
Well, it's a quick turnaround, isn't it?
It is a quick turnaround, Monday to Thursday.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll give people the opportunity here to insert your own result in for the Manchester United, Liverpool-Manchester United game. There you are. Right, well, Manchester United, the story surrounding this is the return of Robin van Persie.
Yes.
And he did actually play at the weekend for Fenerbahce after missing a few games through injury, so he could well play a part in this game. But so I'm back to the home side. Yeah, it's a big week because they play Chelsea after this. So they have got some very, very difficult fixtures this week. And as you say, we don't know what happened in the Liverpool match at the time of recording. But Jose, I suppose, will have to decide, does he prioritise this or the Chelsea game? And does he have the squad to, you know, focus entirely on both? I think this will end a draw.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to back Manchester United at 4-7 with this game sandwiched in between a game against Liverpool and Chelsea. Mourinho has not stated publicly, but he's intimated his contempt for the competition in the past. And that's what surprised me most about the side he put out against Zorya, because I was expecting a makeshift side and he really went for that game. And they still only won 1-0. So I'd love to see the team news before selecting my betting market here.
Yeah, and this is a big game for both sides because, you know, Feyenoord are in form as well, and both of these sides will have to play them again, although Fenerbahce beat them. So at this moment in time, it's looking like a Feyenoord-Fenerbahce top two, so Man United need some points here, but I find it very difficult to look past how... Can we call it languid, that performance against Zorya?
Yeah, I think it was...
laboured.
Yeah, it was a performance without any real spark or energy.
Yeah.
And it was a surprise, given the squad selection there, that they didn't score more than one goal in that game.
Yeah, and I'm going with a draw on the basis that Man United are too short at 4-7, given that performance and given the hectic nature of their week. Whilst Fenerbahce don't often win away in Europe. They beat Grasshoppers in the qualifiers, but before that they were beaten heavily by Monaco in the Champions League qualifiers. They don't win often at all in Europe. So I can't see them coming away with the 3 points. I do think the draw is a play here. And I do think it's going to be a low-scoring draw. You could have a look at the 1-1 at 7-1, perhaps, again, if you're a correct score better. But the unders, when I looked this morning, and I'll just double-check if it's the same price, I thought was very good value at even money.
Yes.
Very good value at even money indeed. Because especially if you're on the draw, when you fancy the draw, it covers you for 0-0 and 1-1 there. In terms of goal scoring, Oh, you've got to have a little nibble on Robbie Van Persie anytime at 12-5. But for United, I think this is maybe the sort of competition in which, if he plays, Anthony Martial could get a goal, 19-10 anytime.
Very good. Thank you, Jack. Remember, you can follow Jack on Twitter. At jcritch7 is Jack's Twitter handle. You can follow myself at dkelner. Make sure you follow William Hill as well, at Will Hill Bet. They'll tweet the enhanced odds offers and any offers we've got for the Champions League and the Europa League as well.
Yeah, and keep your eye on the website in play as well, because the enhanced offers will change as we go along.
They will. And at Will Hill in play will be on air for all these fixtures as well on Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. Full coverage from 6:30 until 10:30 on Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. So do make sure you check out William Hill's In Play Radio. Thank you again, Jack, for your company.
No problem. I'm looking forward to this week.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to the podcast. Do download this via audioboom.com. Just check out and type in William Hill, or you can find us on iTunes as well. Again, type in William Hill and subscribe to all our podcasts, all the on-demand audio going out at audioboom.com. Thank you for listening. Check out all the betting at williamhill.com, and we'll speak again very soon.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey, oh, let's go, let's go.
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with four or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops, stop.